for the nice invitation. And it's very nice to be here again in Potsdam. So I'd like to describe some work done with Apat Hegedus, Zoltan Bajnok, and Tomek Łukowski on computing the five-loop condition. But since this is really the details of this computation are extremely technical and quite involved, I would rather in my talk want to concentrate on giving an overview and saying, explaining in what way the five loop is interesting with regards to the four loop result, and also to stress what is the relation between TBA systems and TBA equations and those results. So because, especially in view of the interest in the exact TBA systems for ADS-CFT. So the outline of my talk is as follows. First, I will give some very brief motivation, which will unfortunately be almost the same as yesterday's talks. Then I would like to spend some time giving a heuristic derivation of multiparticular corrections, starting from a TBA system, to show where the various parts which contribute at four loops and five loops, where do they come from, and what kind of information one can get from these five-loop results and from four-loop results with regards to the full TBA system of ADS-CFT. I would like to describe the magnitudes of those terms, some internal cross-checks, and then I will go very brief, very fast to four-loop computations, and then describe the five-loop computations. So the main motivation, of course, is anonymous dimensions, and the observation is that if you want to compute anonymous dimensions from a two-point function in n equal to 4 Sperangmilch theory, so we want to find the delta here, the two basic classes of Feynman diagrams which appear. So this is operator at point X, operator at point Y, and all kinds of propagators linking them. And the two classes of Feynman graphs, those which can be cut out if we just cut those two lines here, and it will split into two parts. Or graphs which is a propagator or some more complicated graphs which go all along the cylinder. So there are two different topological classes of diagrams. And the first class is contained in asymptotic Bertrandsatz of Bicep and Stadacher. Well, the main problem is to how to compute those swapping. The main current problem is how to compute those swapping graphs, which start to appear at order g to the 2L, where L is the number of, roughly the number of fields appearing in the operator. And the computation of all swapping graphs is in fact one of the aims of the TBA system is proposed for the light constraint sigma model in ADS5 process 5, and we saw it yesterday. In fact, the condition was considered numerically for any value of the coupling constant. However, in this talk, we want to still explore first corrections to the Bertrandsatz analytically to see what kind of insight we can get from that. So the operator which we study is the condition operator, which is just trace of squares of the scalar functions in n equal to 4 Sperangmilch, or an operator made up of two complex scalars and two derivatives. The swapping interactions appear first at four loops, and on the string side can be computed from a single Lucier diagram, where we have here two particles, which correspond to those two derivatives, and this is a virtual particle which circulates along the loop. Now, this expression corresponds to some definite expression in terms of the S matrix, which sits in those two vertices, and when one does the computation, one gets the following result, which agrees with the perturbative computation of Jambert, Santa-Bogosik, and Zanon. And our aim for this work was to extend this computation to five loops. Of course, the main question is why should we really bother with five loops? Because it's complicated, and whether it will give us anything more than just a number. So our main motivation for it is that at five loops, it turns out that two new features appear, which were absent in the previous four-loop computation. So first of all, the BS-BHL desync phase starts to appear, and due to the very funny kinematics, already an infinite set of coefficients of this desync phase starts to contribute at once. Another new feature, which is even more interesting in view of this proposed TBA systems, is that the asymptotic Bertrandsatz quantization condition is modified by virtual particles. This was not seen at four loops, but it appears also at five loops. So that's why it's interesting. And in fact, this effect is very interesting in view of these TBA systems because it's sensitive to much finer detail of TBA equations than, let's say, the F-term part which contributed at four loops. So now I would like to show how those Lucier corrections arise from kind of term model TBA system, just to explain why this part is in a way more sensitive to the structure of the TBA equations. So the main problem that we have in driving, let's say, Of course, those literal equations were really, in a way, guessed by looking at relativistic TBA systems, expanding it at a large volume, and then trying to generalize it to the ADS case. But it turns out that the generalization is not really very completely unique, because the S-matrix does not depend on the difference of rapidities, but really depends on P1 and P2. Therefore, if we, for example, take the derivatives with respect to the first factor, the second factor, we do not have such a simple relation. So one has to really take two into account. So now I'd like just to briefly review how to derive multiparticle literal corrections without assuming this difference property. So we construct a TBA for a completely hypothetical, perhaps non-existing theory with a single particle species and with the S-matrix, which is just a scalar function, which is a function of P1 and P2 individually. So now the program would be to construct first the ground state TBA, then get excited state TBA from analytical continuation using the methods of Patrick Doerr and Roberto Tateo, and then expand a large volume to get multiparticle literal corrections, and then to isolate which parts of the TBA system corresponds to which terms in the literal corrections. So I'll be very fast here because this was already described in yesterday's talks by Sergey Fov and Vodo Kazakov. So the idea of TBA is one starts with the theory on a cylinder of size L and very large height, which is the time coordinate. Now, if one looks at the partition function on such a cylinder, then it will be dominated by the ground state. And of course, we would like to compute the ground state of the theory of defined on a circle on a cylinder of size L. The main idea of TBA is to consider the same partition function, but in a theory with space and time interchanged. So here was the original picture, here we have the mirror picture, and now we can compute the same partition function, but in this theory, and it has now very nice interpretation. First of all, the theory is defined on an almost infinite circle, very large, and at non-zero temperature, so it's a thermal system. So we have to compute the free energy. And the crucial advantage is that here we have all kinds of virtual corrections going around the loop, which we do not know how to compute, but here there will be no virtual corrections because they will be suppressed by this large size. So we can use the asymptotic beta and that for the mirror theory here. And then, since the size of is very large, we can introduce densities of roots, densities of holes, as explained yesterday. So one takes the logarithm and derivative of this equation. So this gives a link between the densities of roots and densities of holes. So just one equation. We need a second equation to solve the system. And this can be done by extremizing the free energy, because we are looking at a thermal system at finite temperature. So now the third point equation of this free energy extremization and beta ansatz equations give two equations for two unknowns, so we can solve it exactly. And it's convenient, in fact, to introduce pseudo-energy, which also appeared yesterday, epsilon z, which is related to rho and rho h in such a way. So if one goes through this procedure, what one gets is one gets a closed equation for this pseudo-energy epsilon. So this epsilon of z is L times, here's the mirror energy, plus an integral term, a convolution term, where we have here the logarithmic derivative of the S-matrix times log of 1 plus e to minus epsilon of w. So for each size L, we have to solve it numerically, or solve it exactly. And then, once this function is known, one can get the ground state energy by plugging the solution into the expression for the partition function, and so on. So in this case, if one performs this procedure, one gets that the energy is an integral over dp tilde, over the mirror momentum, of log of 1 plus e to minus epsilon of z. Now, so this is the equations for the ground state. Now, of course, in the context of ADS CFT, the ground state is not really very interesting, at least if we are looking at the untwisted sector, because it's protected. So what is really interesting for is the excited states. So that's why we want to get literal corrections. So now one has to transform this TBA into TBA for excited states. And the simplest way to do it, in a heuristic way, to get, let's say, the answers, which we want, is to use this method of doing that by taking an analytical continuation of these equations in L. The idea is that if we take L to complex values, then the energy levels are really set on a single Riemann surface, so one can at least some of them, so one can pass from the ground state to the excited states. So if we will make an analytical continuation, we will have here the contour will move some in some complicated ways, and we may have to pass to points where this part here will have a zero. And then one can evaluate this contribution by residues, which will give additional source terms which will jump in front of the equation. And the signs will depend on the relative orientation of the contour, which we do not know how to fix from first principles, but we will fix the sign by comparing the answer with better answers, what comes from better answers. This will fix the sign, and this will fix the sign in all subsequent computations. So, from the formula of the energy, if you want really to get something like sum of E of Z1, E of Z2 corresponding to the source terms, we see that we have to associate -1 to the residue, this type of orientation when deforming the contour. So this fixes the sign also for the corresponding source terms in the analytical continuity TBA equations, because we have to perform exactly the same continuation for the TBA equation. And then, instead of formulas for the energies, we'll get formulas for source terms in TBA. So we get TBA equation of the following form. And here we see, since L is large, so for large volume, this will be the leading order part, and this will be a convolution part, which will be exponentially small with respect to this term, because we have to plug this L in into this epsilon here. So now, suppose that we take just the leading part of TBA equations. So this is just the momentum plus the source terms into the formula for the energy which we had here. So what will you get? We'll get that the energy is E of Z1 plus E of Z2 minus the following integral. And here we see, recognize at once that this is the Lischer F-term integral, which appeared before. So in this way, one gets the F-term is just taking the leading of the part of the source terms of TBA equations, plug it in into the formula for the energy. Of course, one can ask, what about mu terms? Because here they do not appear, while we know that mu terms for various class of theories indeed may appear. So we made here a silent assumption that to each physical particle, there corresponds just a single root of single zero of this 1 plus E2 minus epsilon of W. And this is a kind of assumption which is in some theories it's not so true. In fact, this will be described by Zoltan in the next talk in much more detail. But for the moment, I will just take the example that there are no mu terms, so each root of this function corresponds to a single physical particle. Okay, so from this derivation, we may see that the F-term integral is really not sensitive to the convolution part of the TBA equation, of the TBA system of equations. But this is still not the whole story, because as also explained yesterday, my volume one has to fix the positions Z1 and Z2 self-consistently. So they have to be determined exactly by zeros of this argument of the logarithm here. So that means that epsilon of Zi has to be I pi plus 2 pi ni. So what we have to do, we have to take this formula, plug it in here, and solve for the Zi. So suppose first that we just take this leading part and plug it here. So we'll get I pi equal epsilon Z1, ILP1. Then S of Z1 of the same particle PP is -1 in most theories. So we'll get I pi plus log of S Z2 Z1. So if we exponentiate it, this is just the conventional asymptotic beta and that's Beta-Young equation. However, if we look at the order of the terms and we are interested in the solution up to exponential accuracy, up to the first exponential corrections, then it turns out that we have really to include also this integral term in the quantization condition. So if we do it, we will get, in addition to those terms here, which I wrote in such a way, we'll get an additional convolution term with the derivative of the S matrix multiplied by the S matrix of W and Z2 and an exponential factor here, and a similar for the second particle. And since those expressions are quite small, we can solve them and linear system of equations as collections to the better answered values here. So from here we get delta P1 and delta of P2. So, and we have to include that because those terms are of the same order of magnitude as the F terms of Lischel. So one has to keep them into account. So at the end of the day, finally, the multiple particle Lischel collections have the following structure. Well, so first of all, the energy is the asymptotic beta ansatz answer. Then there's a modification of asymptotic beta ansatz, namely the collections, so epsilon prime of P1 times delta of P1, which comes from the shifts of the values of the momentum. And then there's an F term, which is an integral over dq, e2 minus l e tilde, times the product of the S matrices. So to summarize now from where these various terms come from. So we saw that the F term, so this part, is really sensitive just to the source terms of TBA, of the TBA system. And the integrand is essentially given just by the transfer matrix, by definition. Now, those terms here, they really depend not only on the infinite volume solution of the TBA equations, but also on convolution terms in the TBA system, because we had to plug in, use the first convolution terms to get those equations. So this is mostly the structure of the Lischel collections. Now, all this was just a heuristic derivation just for single component scattering theory, and we can find a natural generalization to non-diagonal scattering, which we did with Zolta. However, one can ask whether this generalization is really founded, because it's really not derived. So one can give one analytical argument that if you take here a single particle, then the same kind of procedure could be done. One can generalize it to the non-diagonal scattering, and then one gets equations which can be also derived by diagrammatic arguments, which are completely independent from TBA. So in this sense, for the simple particle case, we can really prove these results. For multi-particle case, there have been some of these results have been proven. For example, in the O4 paper, we also looked at some systems and the ongoing work on by Arpad and Janusz Balog on these systems. So, okay, so assuming that we have those equations true also for the non-diagonal terms, we can now, so it's quite interesting to explore the relation with the proposed TBA systems, because the proposed TBA systems for ADS CFT are really, because of the non-diagonal scattering, they are infinite component systems of equations for very many functions. So it's far from trivial that if we do a large volume expansion, we'll get kind of similar terms. So this term appears nicely, but it will be very, this term will probe at least the first convolution terms of those equations. So therefore, it was also one of the motivations why we wanted to study a system where these modifications of the beta ansatz really had an important part in the answer. Okay, so it was just a general introduction. So now the magnitude of those terms for the case of the condition. So why 4 and 5 loops appear to be quite different. So first of all, the magnitude of the integrals which appeared here are governed by this term, E2 minus L E tilde, which for the kinematics of ADS 5 cos 5 sigma model corresponds at weak coupling to a factor like g to the 2l. So for the condition, since l is roughly 4, the f term, this integral term, will appear g to the 8 order, so it appears at 4 loops. Also, the modifications of the momentum will also have the same kind of magnitude, so it will also be like g to the 8. But if we plug this modification into the formula for the energy, we have E prime of P times delta of P, and E prime has G squared, because in the formula for the energy, we have square root of 1 plus G squared sine squared P over 2. So therefore, we have an additional factor G squared here, which together with this G to the 8 gives G to the 10. So that's why the modifications of the beta ansatz quantization for the condition can be only seen at 5-loop order. So this is one feature. Another feature which I will describe more detail later is that the asymmetric dressing factor behaves in this kinematics like e to ig squared times some phase. So also this phase will start to appear at g to the 8 times g squared, so also at 5 loops, at g to the 10. And also, this will be quite a nasty expression because this will involve a resummation of an infinite set of coefficients of the BS, BHL phase. So both of them appear at 5 loops. So our goal was to compute the 5 loop Annulmann's dimensions for the Konishi from this string theory using this multiparticle Richel collections. But of course, we have to ask ourselves how will we know that we get the correct result? Because this will be a very complicated computation. So if there are any kind of cross-checks. So of course, the ultimate cross-check, which would be nicest to have, would be to have really a direct perturbative computation. But from what I heard from the experts, it seems that it's very difficult. However, it turns out that there are also some non-trivial internal consistency cross-checks based on what kind of properties the answer should have by itself. So first of all, in gauge theory, it turns out that the high loop integrals have some simple transcendental structure. So for example, there appears just a linear combination of products of zeta functions. No more complicated transcendental functions appear. So, and typical sub-expressions which come from the string theory computations that we discussed before involve much more complicated structures like polar logarithms of irrational complex argument and so on. So one constraint would be that all those junk should cancel out. And moreover, this should cancel out between the various parts of Richel expressions from different sources, namely from the higher-order expansion of the integrand, the dressing factor, and the Bertrand-Latz modification. So all those terms will have to cancel between themselves. Each of them is nasty by itself. So it's a kind of self-consistency condition for the computation. Another cross-check is the cancellation of mu terms. So one can argue that at weak coupling, mu terms should not contribute. Yes?
How do you know that we don't get something complicated?
Because we don't have to read out the results. Yes, but in fact, I asked Christoph Zieg transcendental function he would expect to get from five loop integrals. So he said that zetas, products of zetas, but nothing really extremely much more complicated. But I cannot justify it because I don't want to. So now, again, another thing, structure of those F-term and ABA modification terms, is that the answer looks like an integral over dq. This is exponential factor, which at weak coupling is, in fact, like q squared plus the number of the bound state squared to the power 4, times some product of S matrices or its derivatives in the case of the Bertrand-Latz quantization. So if we compute this answer by residues, there are two types of poles. One pole is this one, which appears from this factor, which is IQ, which is purely kinematical. And also, there are also poles coming from S&T channel poles, which appear in the S-matrix here, which have some simple expression. And since mu terms are not expected to appear through coupling, we would expect that the contribution of dynamical poles, or those poles, residues of those poles, should cancel between themselves. And again, this will be a property which will be true only for the complete expression and not for the sub-expressions that we have. So this is another kind of independent cross-check of the computation. Okay, so now I will just be very brief and go through the follow-up computations to show what kind of expressions arise and where one can use it, and then go to the five-loop results. So for the leading four-loop Lopin corrections, we have no contributions from the asymptotic Bertrand-Latz, from the modifications of the asymptotic Bertrand-Latz. We have no contribution from the dressing phase, and the whole expression comes from the F-term integral, which can be expressed in the following way in terms of the transfer matrix. So here we have a summation over the type of bound states, integral over its momentum, and here's just the transfer matrix for a state in representation Q passing through our state which we are interested in. And in the Y system approach of Kazakov-Gomov-Vervat can be written in the following way here. So for the Konishi, for example, what kind of results appear? This YQ of Q, the integrand, can be written and has the following form. So here we explicitly see, and U is just the one loop rapidity of the Konishi state. So here we see, here we have the kinematical pole, and here we have all the dynamical poles associated with some S and T channel singularities of the S matrix. So we perform the integral by residues, and one can check that the residues at all those poles cancel out after summation over Q. So at the end of the day, the whole result just comes from taking this answer and taking the residue only at Q equal to IQ. And in this way, one gets this answer. Now one can extend it later to twist two at four loops. So this will be just two complex scalars and M derivatives. Again, there will be open corrections at four loops. Now this is interesting because those anonymous dimensions have lots of constraints. So there's lots of structure appearing there. For example, the open part should not have a piece proportional to log M. So Kasper anonymous dimension should be not modified. There are very strong constraints on large M from reciprocity or parity. Then this maximal transcendentality principle of Kotikov-Lipatov, namely that this part should have transcendental degree exactly 7. And also, when we analytically continue those expressions to minus 1 plus omega, this should have prescribed pole structures. So we computed the expression, and the answer is given in terms of the harmonic sums mentioned yesterday in Vermassen's talks. So we can see here the degree of transcendentality is 7, because it's 5 plus 1 plus 1, 1 plus 1 plus 2 plus 3, and so on. So this fits. They have the correct large M asymptotics, including reciprocity constraints. All terms have maximum transcendentality 7. And now if we take this answer and analytically it continue to minus 1, then in fact it turns out that we have a nasty analytical structure for M equal to minus 1 plus omega. The asymptotic beta ansatz has also a nasty one, but if we add those two things together, we get a very simple answer which exactly agrees with leading order next to leading order BFK per expectations for N equal to 4 superangles. But now, so this is the, let's say, now we have this analytical answer for NM, and we can ask what happens if we take M to 1. That means that we obtain a single impurity state with p equal to pi, rapidity u equal to 0, which is obviously not physical in the n equal to 4 superangles theory. But it turns out that it makes sense in the beta deformed theory with beta equal to 1/2, and the follow propping becomes this expression here, which in fact exactly coincides with direct perturbative computations by Campbell, Zander, Borges, Zick, and Zanon. Now I'm speaking about it because one can pose a problem whether one can get this m equal to 1 result directly from a Lischer-like computation instead of doing the analytical continuation from twist two states. And, well, the prescription that we found is that in the Lischer computation, if we introduce some phase factors which would cause the fermionic virtual particles to vanish in the loop, we will exactly get this result. We cannot really justify it from first principles, but it's kind of observation. So I'm saying, because later at five loops, we will use the same kind of assumption to compute the beta-deformed expression for a single impurity particle. Okay, so this is roughly the status that we have for four-loop computations. So now we can go to five loops. So as I explained, the general features of the subleading five-loop propping corrections are that, first of all, the dressing factor has to be taken into account. The modification of the algebraic beta ansatz starts to play a role. And also, on the technical side, of course, the F-term integrand has to be also expanded to higher orders in G, which is obvious, but it's technically quite unpleasant, unfortunately. So let me now describe those various ingredients of these computations. So first of all, the dressing factor. Now, why it is so different than the dressing factor for physical particles? This comes from the fact that here we have to evaluate the distinct factor when the first particle is in the Miller theory, while the second particle is in the physical theory. So for the physical theory, both x plus and x minus are like 1 over g. However, for the Miller theory, in the line which we use, z plus is large, but z minus is small. And therefore, this upsets the power counting of the distinct phase. So if we take the expression for the distinct phase in terms of the infinite sum, we plug in the magnitudes of those coefficients and use this fact, it will upset the counting, and it turns out that all coefficients C, 2, and arbitrary S will contribute at once. And in fact, one can resum the expressions from the, using the BS, BHL coefficients, and get the following expression in terms of psi functions. We also, as a check, derived it from the Dory-Hoffman-Mallet-Sena integral formula and obtained the same result, so to be sure that this is the correct analytical continuation of the distinct phase. So this is the first ingredient. We have to use this result. Then, so recall that we had this expression, so we have to deal with this asymptotic Betanzas modification here. So one has just to use those formulas that we proposed. One will get some kind of linear system of equations for the shifts of the momenta, which are expressed in terms of some infinite, some integral, again, of something which is not a transformatrix, but it depends on the derivative of one of the S factors times another S factor here. So we have to evaluate it. And also we have to expand the F-term integrand up to 5 loops. So this will involve expanding the transfer matrix up to g to the 10, and it involves, for example, the explicit g dependence of the Miller particles. We have to sum up subleading terms in the construction of the scalar factor for SL2 states, so there are lots of technical qualities involved. We have to include the contribution of the distinct phase, which is the psi functions multiplied by the integrand for the Konishi at 4 loop, in fact. So this has to also to be plugged in. And we have to include also the effects of two-loop Betanzas for the rapidities, because at 4 loops we only had to include this part, but at 5 loops we have to also include the first subleading part. So we have to plug all this in, everything together and put in. So we have to evaluate the following summation and integral. Now, to evaluate the integral, we have to look at poles. What are the poles of the integrand? So first of all terms will have poles from QQ to IQ and from those dynamical poles which appear in the S matrix. But this is not all, because as you recall, there are also those psi functions which appear in the distinct factor. So psi functions, in fact, will lead to an additional infinite sequence of poles at QQ to IQ plus 2n. So this is quite an intricate structure. And now we check that if we sum over Q, the residues of those dynamical poles cancel out between those various terms. So indeed, this is the first consistency check of our expression. Then we have to plug in, compute the residue at this IQ and all the poles of the psi functions and make a summation. So this is really quite complicated. We have to sum rational functions of Q, rational functions times poly gamma, and so on. The sub-expressions are very nasty and include those polygammas with nasty arguments, but it turns out that all of them cancel out. And at the end of the day, our result turns out to be involve just zeta functions with odd arguments and the product of zetas. So we have integers times zeta of 3, like that, zeta of 3 squared, zeta of 5, and zeta of 7. So again, this is quite nice, and this nice structure came from cancellation of those various nasty terms between parts which came from completely different sources, like the modification of the Betanzas quantization, for example, the BS, BHL, resummed distinct phase. So this is quite rigid structure. So this gives for the anonymous dimension of the Konishi up to 5 loops the following expression if one adds together the wrapping and the asymptotic Betanzas answer. Okay, so this is for the Konishi. So it would be very nice if someone could compute it perturbatively. But
a
I think it's mysterious. I mean, perhaps people who do perturbative computation can, because the zeta, like pi's and Euler gamma functions appear for in various integrals. But somehow the observation is that they cancel out. Here? Yes, yes. So, for example, in the dressing phase, there's even an explicit Euler gamma appearing. So it's, but at the end, it cancels out. But why, in fact, one cannot really say. So then we also attempted to look at the single imputed state in the beta deformed theory, because it may be somewhat easier to compute. So we performed the same computation for the L equal to 2 single imputed state. So this will be subcritical wrapping, because it receives the wrapping corrections that follows, which I showed before. But so these are subleading ones. And again, following our for-loop observation, we assumed here that the fermionic virtual particles cancel in the loop. This is not derived, but it's a kind of assumption. But again, if we had this assumption, the consistency conditions that we had, namely the vanishing of the dynamical pole, the residues of the dynamical poles, the vanishing of mu term, also holds. And also, all this complicated stuff also cancels out. So this is simpler. One drawback of it, if we want to use it as a test of TBA systems, is that unfortunately here, the asymptotic Bertrandsatz quantization is not modified, just for symmetry reasons. So this just comes out. It could appear, but it comes out to be zero. However, the dressing factor contributes in exactly the same way as for the condition. So this computation will be a test of the infinite set of coefficients of the BES, BFL dressing phase. So dynamical poles cancel, and the final result has a similar transcendentality structure to the condition. So we have, again, zeta 3, zeta 5, zeta 3 squared, and zeta 7 here. And there's no constant term, also, in fact, as for loops. Okay, so now, so these were our main results. Perhaps this is close. It's possible, perhaps, to compute the subleading subcritical wrapping for the single imputed state in beta equal to 1/2 theory. It will be very interesting to have this answer because of the relation with the dressing factor here. So now I'd like to come to the conclusions. So we have computed the five loop wrapping corrections to the condition, unmasked dimension, and single imputed. The mu terms cancel out, which is one check, which we did. The result also has a quite simple transcendentality structure. And the features that were important in the computation were that an infinite set of BS, BHL coefficients contribute at once at this five-loop order. And also, the asymptotic Bertrandsatz quantization gets modified. Now, this is especially interesting for us from the point of view of relation with the TBA systems proposed for ADS-CFT, namely that this effect is sensitive to convolution terms in the infinite TBA system. So it would be very interesting to see whether it arises and in what way it arises from the proposed TBA systems. Perhaps it may also be a guide, like it may help in choosing what kind of source terms would be consistent. So because this would be a further independent check apart from the transfer matrix, in a sense. And of course, it would be interesting to have a direct perturbative computation, but it seems to be quite difficult. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for the nice talk. Questions? Okay. Kolya?
Suppose these dynamical poles cancel in all orders of perturbation theory, since it seems it is very probable after your calculation. And we know that the series have the finite radius of convergency. Is it enough to conclude that we will have no dynamical poles at all at finite G?
I'm not sure because, at strong coupling, for example, for the single giant magnon, for a single giant magnon, this is mu term, which is necessary. So somehow, at strong coupling, they may arise. Now, I don't. In fact, it's confusing for me. So I don't know whether it could arise from some additional terms coming in, or that one would have more complicated source terms. But like we had, like after summation over Q, the contribution would cancel out. So.
The thing which is confusing to me is that we have finite radius of convergence. So, in fact, this series should define everything.
Well, but
okay, that we hope very much that it's finite.
But I don't know. I remember that for the scaling Young model, there was some kind of very funny structure that at some critical radius, there was a different kind of picture of the source terms, as far as we, well, of the structure of the roots which appeared. And yet all the functions look smooth. So perhaps something like that might be possible, but I don't know. I mean, sometimes I think that mu terms should not, that these source terms should be enough. Also, other times I think that mu terms are necessary, really, at some couple. I don't know.
Can you use the micro, please?
So we expect that these mu terms will appear at some critical value of Toft-Kalpin constant first. But we also, I think, expect that there will be infinitely many such critical values of lambda. And at large value of lambda, strictly speaking, all bound states, infinite number of bound states, would start contributing to the equations. So do you think we will have infinitely many TBA equations for excited states for Kanish operator?
I don't know. I'm very confused, so I don't know. Because I would say that the translation between, I mean, from TBA, there's a unique way to get to Lüscher, right? But it's not, it does not get the other way around. For example, one can represent the leading part, the F term, from various choices of source terms, right? And all of them may give the same result. Now the question is, so perhaps our hope was that this modification of the ABA, because it's more sensitive to the rest of the TBA equations, may give some hint about the structure of the source terms. But I don't know. So it's only unique in one way. So I would be afraid to make statements, too strong statements, I mean, in the opposite direction.
How do you argue the derivation of the correction to Bittansatz for non-diagonal scattering?
Okay, so for the single particle case, the same modification of the quantization appears, also at non-diagonal scattering. And together with Tomek Ukowski, we made a generalization of this Lüscher computation, diagrammatic one, and got the same answer. Then, in fact, the modification of the ABA was hidden in the Jacobian of by passing from the S-matrix to the Green's, four-point Green's function. So in that case, I would say it's safe. Then for some relativistic cases, I think you in the O4 paper, I think you, it was non-diagonal and you verified it, right? And there was also some ongoing work with by Janusz Balog and Arpad Hegedush, I think, which also is supporting the structure. But I agree that what we gave here was heuristic derivation. For example, it would be very interesting if someone could repeat generalized Lüscher diagrammatic argument for the multiparticle Lüscher corrections, because then it would be more or less on a solid ground, which does not involve, let's say, some assumptions.
There's one more question there. Eh?
What happens to the energy E of L when L goes to zero or infinity? That's a natural question from the point of view of TBA.
Yes, so here, first of all, in this case, in this ADS-CFT system, L is quantized. as integers.
I don't care.
Yes.
So I want to send L to infinity or to zero and see what happens.
Well, one cannot send it to zero in this. Well, it's the smallest value possible in a sense, L equal to 2.
No, so we are having mathematical equations, and solution of this equation, as a result of procedures solving the equation, you calculate the quantity called E of L.
Yes, but
I want to study that function as a function of L.
Yes,
do I have a right to do that or not?
Not completely, because, for example, like Sergey, in the proposed TBA systems, some of the equations do not make sense for non-integer L. For example, if one defines them on the toes, then P is kind of periodic, which factor with periodicity to pi.
As far as I understood, L enters only one place as a coefficient in the source term, and you're saying that something drastically happens if L is not integer?
So, okay, I would say that in this toy model, which I showed, it's not clear. But in this full TBA system, it somehow came out. And one can argue it on the... For large L, I think the answer is that it will be given by beta ansatz, asymptotic beta ansatz, which is well understood.
Yeah, what's the correction to it?
At weak coupling, it will be like g to the 2L times a coefficient which we can compute from that integral. At strong coupling, it will be like e to minus 2 pi L over square root of lambda times another correction which is computable. And, for example, at strong coupling, this has been checked for some rotating string solutions and so on. So this agreement. So large L behavior is mostly under control. At strong coupling, certainly. At weak coupling, I think no one will bother to do it, but... should be awesome.
Okay, no more questions. Let's thank Roman again.